Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Our first reading from the Old Testament for the ascension of our Lord comes from 2 Kings chapter 2. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his coat and rolled it up and struck the water. And the water was parted to the one side and to the other till the two of them could go over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. And he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho saw him opposite them, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. This is the word of the Lord. Please open up your worship folder to our catechetical review for today, the second article, redemption. We read, "And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead." What does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. The second reading for ascension is from Acts chapter 1. "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Please stand. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Being left behind, we can easily admit to ourselves that there is no joy or gladness when we get left behind as well. Let's admit it, it's not fun to be left behind. If everyone in your family goes on vacation, but you have to stay home and feed the dogs, mow the lawn, take care of the home. If everyone goes to a movie, concert, sporting event, or even a family gathering, but you have to stay home and finish your homework and study for exams. If there's a holiday and everyone gets the day off from school or work, but you don't have the day off and you have to go in for work, we have all been in a situation like this before. We want to join our families and friends in experiencing new adventures, seeing new things, but often we are unable to because of other prior commitments and responsibilities. It would not be surprising if the disciples felt like that on Ascension Day, when their Lord and teacher was taken up into heaven before their very eyes, leaving them behind to deal with the problems of our sinful nature and the evil world that we live in. They more than likely felt abandoned, unsure of how they would be able to overcome the hardships, wars, strife, sin, and death that is always and constantly surrounding us. Jesus has ascended into heaven, yet we are still behind, or left behind in a world filled with struggles and work, disease and famine, war and hardship, sin and death. In our sinful nature, we become jealous and envious of Jesus' ascension. We think to ourselves, "That's great for Jesus, but where's the joy and where's the fun for me?" In our Old Testament reading this morning from 2 Kings 2, we hear of the account of Elijah being taken up into heaven. The prophet's sons ask Elisha if he knew that if the Lord was going to take away his master from him, and he acknowledges this fact. But before Elijah departs, he tells Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." We hear Elisha request that a double portion of Elijah's spirit is given to him. And Elijah responds, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." It was after this that Elijah was taken up to heaven by a whirlwind, cut off from Elisha by chariots of fire and horses of fire. Elisha cries out and sees Elijah no more. Stricken and overcome by grief of losing his master, he tears his garments into two pieces, frustrated that God would take his master away from him. He grabs the cloak that had fallen from Elijah, and in anger he rolls that cloak and strikes the water, crying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And after he had struck the water, something surprisingly happened. The water parted ways, just as it did when Elijah had struck the water. It was at this moment Elisha realized that he was not alone, that he had not just received a portion of Elijah's spirit, let alone a double portion of Elijah's spirit, but he had indeed received the Lord. The same Lord who had been with his people Israel, who crossed the Red Sea on dry ground out of their exodus from Egypt, and who parted the waters of the Jordan River so that his people might enter the Promised Land on dry ground, and who in verse 8 of our text from 2 Kings 2 parted the waters for Elijah. Elisha was not alone. He had the Lord with him. Elisha was not forgotten. He was not left behind. The disciples knew this Old Testament account, and it became even more clear to them when our Lord had opened their minds to understand the scriptures, beginning with Moses and all the prophets and the writings that were concerning himself. Our Lord told Mary Magdalene after his glorious resurrection that she should not cling to him, for he has not ascended to his Father, but rather she should go to the disciples saying, "I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." Time and time again, the disciples were told that they would no longer be with the Lord in person, and that he himself was going to heaven to prepare a place for them in his Father's house. Jesus even reassures his disciples that he would not leave them alone as orphans, but would send a helper, the Holy Spirit, so that they might go out into all the world proclaiming all that he had done in their sight. Time and time again, the disciples were told that this event would eventually take place. And then it does. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took them out of their sight. Our natural instincts have us think that the disciples returned to Jerusalem with heavy, sad hearts. But that's not what St. Luke is writing in the gospel reading that we heard just a moment ago. They were not filled with sadness. They worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. They knew that when Jesus would ascend, the Holy Spirit would descend. And that's exactly what would happen. They would receive the Holy Spirit, poured out in full on the day of Pentecost, which we celebrate next Sunday. So when Jesus ascends into heaven, it does not mean that we will be left behind, left alone in a world that is filled with struggles and work, disease and famine, war and hardship, sin and death. That's what Satan wants us to believe. He wants us to believe that we are all alone and must fend for ourselves. That's the sad reality of our sinful nature. And we often believe him because of it. We believe the lies he spews from his deceitful mouth. We feel forgotten, like the last one picked in a game of dodgeball. We feel forsaken, like a boyfriend or a girlfriend that quits the relationship and walks out. We feel neglected, like those who are looking and longing for shelter and for food, or a child who is left at home to fend for himself or herself while their parents go out and party and play. We feel alone, left behind, as if our Lord was millions of miles away and is too busy to pay attention to our cries for trouble, for our cries of trouble and our needs, let alone even care for them. But our Lord has time and time again thwarted this lie of the devil, telling us that we are not alone. Yes, Jesus has been enthroned in his ascension. Yes, he has returned to the right hand of the Father, but he has not and will not leave us behind, for he has taken us to himself. When our Lord came down from his heavenly throne and was made man and was given the name Jesus, he took on our own human flesh. He united himself to us in an everlasting bond. He didn't just use his body and then shed it like a snake shedding its skin when he was done with it. He is always and will be forever God and man together in his birth, life, crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection, and even now in his ascension. He takes you and your sin into himself and puts his holiness and his life into you when he says, "Tetelestai, it is finished." He wants you with him in his kingdom, and thus he ascends to heaven in order that this can take place, that where he is, there you also may be. But until that day when our Lord comes again in glory, just as the two men in white robes declare, this Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. He will be with us here. For the Spirit he has given is with us. The Spirit who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who leads us back, connecting us to the Father and the Son. This, the same Spirit that was poured into your hearts when you were brought to and crossed through the waters of holy baptism. The Spirit who gives us the forgiveness, life, and salvation of Jesus through the word of the gospel. Yes, you may feel like you have been left behind and are all alone. But as Elisha realized, it is not so. The risen Lord and Savior is indeed with you. Remember, dear saints, that just because the Lord is with you, it does not mean that life will come to you easily. The struggles and work, the disease and famine, the war and hardships, sin and death will still come to you because the world is broken. You and I are broken because of sin. Life never has and never will be easy. Elisha knew that, and so did the apostles, who would share in the suffering and their martyrdoms. Yet they faced their suffering joyfully. Jesus is ascended and enthroned in glory, and you are joined to him. And you have the Spirit as a guarantee of your own resurrection and ascension. What can the world and the prince of the world do to you? The answer is, there is nothing in all of creation that would be able to separate you from the love of God. The ascension of our Lord is not only a moment in the life and work of Christ, but it is a glimpse of our future as well, when we will ascend with Christ up through the endless ranks of angels. This endless ranks of angels is the same rank of angels and archangels who join with us around the altar every time we receive the body and blood of our Lord. For this is where Christ said he would be. And here, at his table, he is feeding you, strengthening you, forgiving you, keeping you, and preserving you. The Lord who has taken you into himself puts himself into you. You are not ever alone. You are not left behind. So, struggle on like Elisha, and rejoice like the apostles. And when you find yourself looking for the Lord, do not gaze into heaven like the apostles did. Instead, come. Come to the altar, for here is your risen Lord and Savior. Here until the day when he comes again in glory and takes you from this valley of tears to be with himself in heaven, where he will no longer be hid behind the clouds of bread and wine, water and words, but where we will see him face to face. Then we too will be the ones who stay in the city of God, the new Jerusalem, forever. Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.